Okay, Nate, we can proceed.
Hold on to stuff here, we can.
Good.
Okay.
Chambers was muted.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I thought it was me. I tried everything I have.
Okay, I've got a few requests here for you today. The first one is a reclassification. Actually, no, we'll do the request for RFP. I'd like to request to issue an RFP to do a CSCA main unit salary grid study, similar to what we did for the management a couple of years ago. And again, this is just a request to issue the RFP to see where we get, and we come back to you to discuss after that.
So as we discussed prior to COVID, one of our goals for last year was to update the main unit grid because it's been 30 years and we have over a third of our employees are off the grid. So they're not on any steps.
The
positions, because it hasn't been, you know, comprehensively looked at in decades, some of the positions we have a tough time recruiting for, they're probably not graded where they need to be. Others, I think, are perfectly fine. But instead of, we think that, you know, for our bargaining with the unit, that it would be better to have an outside consultant come in. Burke did a fantastic job last time. I'm sure any consultant would do a good job taking a look at market rating, updating it, and getting a grid that is actually workable where people are back on it.
I mean, at this point, we've got three sets of off-the-grid people. You know, you've got so many people that are just completely off of that grid. It's getting to the point where there's not a whole lot you can do. And we're going to end up with pretty much everyone off of the actual salary grid, which, you know, doesn't make any sense. We'll kick the can down the road for, you know, 20 years maybe, but at this point it really is time to look at it and see what we can do with it to get it back into some semblance of order.
And we have done, you folks have approved the contracts. We've done it for reassess the grid within the last number of years for the deputies unit, the corrections and dispatchers, court security, and then management. So this is the last group to do.
Which group exactly is this?
This is your main unit, CPA. So this is the majority of employees.
Okay.
Second.
Any other questions for Jack or Nate?
Yeah, just have one. What was the cost when we did the management?
It was about $7,000. This will be more.
Because you have numbers in the management group or versus this?
How many people?
Mm-hmm.
There's about 180 in management. There's 550-ish, 500.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Now on to the reclassifications. First one, the district attorney's office. We talked about this in public safety, asking to reclassify an assistant district attorney position to a senior assistant district attorney position. And I don't know if I did. I see Brooks on there. Doesn't look like it. All right. So essentially, what's happening? Brooks is losing two of his attorneys. One, a longtime senior. An assistant district attorney as well. He's looking to refill behind both of those, but obviously the senior position is leaving is paid a significant amount more than we pay someone coming in. So he's looking to get somebody with the backlog that's in that office now from COVID, court starting back up, someone that can come in and hit the ground running to do these cases. So between the two, he's stating he can hire between the two with no money difference between what he's spending now and what he'll spend with filling the two seniors.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Your second. Anybody? If not, the motion fails. Is that you?
Hilda.
Is that Hilda? Hilda? Well, we can come back to that if she has some other information about that motion.
We would just, for whatever it's worth, recommend this. It might not matter, which is fine, but for Brooks to be able to hire a senior level position, and the cost is essentially neutral.
So, next one is in public health, and requesting to reclassify a public health coordinator position to a deputy public health director position. We've been going this direction for years to have a deputy, especially in the departments that have a number of people in them, both for succession, continuity, you know, ability to act for in place of the director. And especially during COVID, we found that out, you know, very much that, you know, this is a necessary position in this department. And I think Darlene is on if she wants to add anything.
Morning. Yeah, what Nate said is absolutely the case. The public health department, I don't believe, has ever had a deputy director. Certainly hasn't had one in the 6 years that I've been there in that department. Additionally, you know, I've, with the retirement of the public health coordinator, which is essentially the nursing supervisor, she retired over a year ago. I've continually advertised for that position, and I have not even had an applicant to interview. So my intent, the motivation behind kind of that's my motivation behind kind of combining the two positions for now, and you know, have the deputy director assume those responsibilities, but a deputy position of course would pay a little bit more than the public health coordinator, but I'd essentially be, you know, accomplishing two things with one move. So that's the motivation behind the way in which I've proposed doing this.
I have a question. This is Robin.
Sure.
I understand you're combining those two. That's good. But Nate, either Nate or Darlene, address, how did you come up with this great salary in the range?
We followed the same ideas we have with other deputies. And plus, you know, quite frankly, anything in the in the nursing field has been extremely difficult to recruit for. So we put it where we felt you know, the best ability to for both of those.
You mean the best ability to be able to
recruit, as well as where it should fit according to how we've classified other deputies as well.
I move it.
Thank you.
I'll second.
We got a motion and a second. Any other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Hilda, can you hear us now?
I can. Can you?
We're having trouble hearing you.
I have tried everything. I don't know what's going on. Let me try something else.
We got you right there.
Yeah, now we just heard you. Risk management.
Okay. We've talked to you a couple times about the risk management position and the incumbent leaving. We had actually transferred a senior typist position over from my department, I think last meeting or two meetings ago, in order to appoint somebody in there to train with the outgoing incumbent. And as Scott and I and Jack have talked about it and the duties of that position and what's really necessary, it started to appear that realistically it needed to be a different title. The duties are just quite significant in there compared to what is normally done by a senior typist, and they keep increasing. As we looked at, I had Scott actually put together a list for me of all of the things they do on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And as we looked at it, this this title was more appropriate. So we're looking to reclass a vacant senior typist position to a senior account clerk typist position. And the same rule would apply that we talked about before, that once the current senior typist position there was vacated, it would come back to my department and be zero based. So still no net change on number of positions in the risk management office when we're all said and done. And Scott, I don't know if...
Yeah, does anybody have any questions for me or from our end, or what the duties have changed? You know, when I came in this office 5-6 years ago, you know, Linda Harrington was doing a lot of, you know, all the work of filing and paper trails and all that. Our office has changed so much. I've got about 3.5 pages of duties that Vicki does. The majority of those now are financially related, functionally related, spreadsheet related. We've added 7 new members to our county plan, which has added 200 new employees to the plan. She's got to keep track of all of those claims and employees, as well as bill those towns, receive the bill, make sure finance is happy that ends up over there. So, you know, the position really has created the need for somebody with some financial background in there than just a senior typist. We looked at it in the beginning and it just, you know, fell. I understand where we are with adding a little more money to the position. I'm standing here telling you it's well worth it. It really is for me to get somebody in there that's got those abilities. I'm part-time, I'm not here full-time. So to have somebody there with some of that background is going to be extremely helpful. So.
This is Brian, I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Got a motion and a second. John, you had a question?
Yeah. As far as the cost of the administration of this plan, setting the insurance, I'm assuming it's charged back to all the entities, so we're recouping some of this money from the towns and villages that are in the thing.
Yes, yes, exactly. Anything we've added is all being spread across and come back to the in cost. So,
in addition to all the cost savings for us, mm-hmm. since you've been in position on this whole plan, I think this is a good one to start.
Sure. If there's nothing else, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I have one question. We're doing so many of these reclassifications. Will this, the salary grid study, is this going to help alleviate some of that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we're pretty certain it will. Okay.
Thank you.
Not that there wouldn't be instances in the future, but there would be far less than now because it would right-size duties with the position titles and the grading of those.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like the calling someone a clerk typist doesn't really fit in anymore.
And, you know, there are some antiquated things like that. Civil service in general is duties-based, not salary-based. And that's where I run into some difficulties sometimes. And, you know, again, don't shoot the messenger when I bring this stuff to you. But, you know, it's I'm charged by the state with, you know, classifying positions based on the duties that are brought forward to me by the department heads. So in that respect, I don't look at salary at all. It's when I come to you folks that I look at salary and try to make the balance of, okay, what can we do? What's reasonable? What's not? But still staying within the duties. And that's kind of where these are. A lot of these, and especially through COVID, you know, we didn't do a lot of this stuff. So that's, we're catching up with that, trying to, but also over the years, I mean, if there's incumbents in positions and they're just going along doing things, I mean, positions morph. And a lot of times when somebody retires, that's when we'll you know, look at it a little harder, you know, to see if that title's still appropriate and so on and so forth. So that's a lot of the reason for these two.
Makes sense. Thank you.
The older communities. We'll come back maybe if you're on. We have the law department.
Okay, law department. We're asking for a couple salary adjustments here. I'll take Craig first. You know, he's moving from the senior assistant county attorney to to the deputy county attorney. So the reason for this obviously is a promotion. As far as Jen Galvin, looking at her experience and her training, and the difficulty recruiting attorneys, certainly this is an appropriate step for her to land on to start in the county attorney's office. And Jen, do you have any?
Yeah. Can you hear me? I guess that is on. With Jen Galvin, that position had been vacant for the last 2 years. So what happened is Jen worked at the DA's office. She resigned for the senior assistant county attorney job in Allegheny County. They offered her a little bit more money than we're now paying her. And I then asked if she would be interested in staying here and having the same job here for a little less money, which she took.
So move on.
Second.
We got a motion to second. Anything else for Nate or Jennifer? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Was that you, Hilda? Okay. Thanks, Nate. Wendy.
Okay, we have to come back to request more money for the tax certiorari proceeding, cost of appraisal services in the town of Caton for recording natural gas. I was not aware that the agreement was to divide the cost equally amongst the school, town, and county. So I was short about $150 there. So I'm going to go ahead with our cost will now be $1,650, and I'll just maybe request to have it not more than $3,500 in case anything more pops up later, which we don't anticipate, but.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Got a motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I would also like to request to issue an RFP for tax bill printing services. We've had some, quite a bit of feedback recently about, when the collectors can get the bills and get them out. And some collectors don't send them out at the same time and, different things. And I'm thinking that I know of a company that can print the bills and mail them from their facility. The postage costs will be greatly reduced. The tax collector wouldn't have to compile them. I've had one tax collector say that she goes through and looks for all the duplicate owners and opens the envelopes and puts them into one envelope together. There are companies that can compile them together in one envelope. We wouldn't have to worry about IT equipment, maintenance, that kind of a thing. So
it's more tax bill printing and mailing. And
yes.
Not what we've done in the past.
Right.
So the RFP has to be rewritten, perhaps, Jen?
That part is included in the specifications.
Okay, but has not been in the past.
Well, we haven't.
We have not had it. We've always printed them here at the county. So this would take the tax bill printing out of the county IT department.
Okay. And then do the towns that have us do that share in the cost or we absorb that?
Yeah, we've been charging back basically just our office is just charging back the paper and envelope costs, IT charges, processing fee, and any binders that we have to provide them, we charge them for.
Okay.
Good idea to look at.
I'll move it.
Got a motion. Okay. Have second. A second. Second. Any questions?
This one.
All in favor? Oh, I'm sorry, John.
as far as what our costs are right now to do this, can we get an estimate of what that is, or some fixed numbers so we can compare it to what this RFP is going to be?
Sure. I did do a tentative cost analysis with the one company that I know of that's given me a quote. Large savings for the towns is going to be in the postage. They're estimating 44 cents a piece for the postage, whereas the town's paying 55 cents. That's a large part of it. Plus, the IT department, for instance, the town of Bath, over 5,000 parcels, that takes them a whole day to print all the bills, get them stuffed into envelopes, and print the tax rolls. And so
the way this works right now, this is all done. It's sent to the towns sitting out there to mail out. So they're already in envelopes and everything else. All they got to do is put a stamp on them. Is that what you're telling me?
Right now, that's what we do. Okay. So this
really wouldn't save the towns time, except for the postage, putting the postage on these.
No, the bills would be mailed directly from the company.
Okay.
So they wouldn't have to compile the bills. They wouldn't have to. They only have to worry about pretty much the bank coded parcels that are under escrow.
Mm-hmm.
But it might also help them because it's always a crunch at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they have to pick them up from here. So
yeah.
Certainly. Well, I think it's a good idea.
So in that RFP, we would state that they all had to be done within a week, or there'd be a time frame on that?
Yes. Yeah.
So we've got a motion, a second. Anything else?
The towns then would pay the 44 cents on the postage instead of 55.
Yeah.
They buy the stamps themselves now.
Right. That would be a chargeback from
towns there, but then there'd be more expense. There'd be more expense for having them print them than mm-hmm. not putting them in the envelope. Mm-hmm. So it might be a wash for the town.
Yeah. Yeah, good to look at.
Be more efficient.
Right.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Wendy. Jennifer.
So this is about the Westlaw contract, which is the attorney research, online research that we use, and this is for every attorney in the county. So we presently are paying $1,881 a month. The renewal would be at $1,919, so an increase of $38 a month. And this is spread across 5 departments. So it's not a huge increase. And we do have built into this contract, which we advised a couple years ago, but just so you know, that as more attorneys are added, it's built into that. So this should never need to be changed as far as the bundle package that we have. So each department is charged back based on the amount of attorneys in their office. We look at it quarterly. Let's just renew that for 3 years.
This has been a good deal. I can't speak to it. I've used it sparingly. It's normally called Jen, but instead of buying all the law books,
yeah.
I've used the money mm-hmm. in every department. It's been a real efficient way to do it.
And what it has also built into it, besides the attorney seat that we pay for each attorney seat, there is an admin seat. So that's why somebody like Jack can use it for free. So we have 45 attorney seats. And 45 admin seats, so finance can access it. There are other departments. We just don't pay for those seats.
So
hold
on. Got a motion, a second. Any more questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Jennifer.
Vicki.
And I can share while the ladies are coming to the microphone, I can share the proposal. We've had some discussions as well as them with Bonadio regarding potential
Go ahead, ladies.
I thought you were going to talk about it.
Oh, I had a few. I took you. No, you can talk about the detailed discussions that you've had on a DO for any audit that's proposed for the county. They contact Tammy and I. So we had, you know, I'm not an expert in this at all, but they're offering services, obviously, with everything that's happening with elections. But all the changes specifically in New York State, well, not just us, but with election law changes and the additional changing demands placed upon the department, they've offered a audit service. We would recommend the Gold, which is not just the evaluation.
Jack, is your mic on? I'm sorry.
Yep, it is, but I don't know if it's low. I'll lean in.
All right, thanks.
Speak a little louder. So. The evaluation of internal controls, historical analysis of the KPIs, key performance indicators, voter completeness and registration testing, and then the ineligible voter testing. It gives a comprehensive view of, you know, what's happening in the department, the changing landscape, sent it to leadership of the committee and the legislature for their initial feedback, and don't want to speak for them, but put it in front of you. We do not have sufficient flex in their budget to absorb a $23,000 increase. So from likely contingency, if you would be okay with that, but it seemed like an interesting enough idea that we wanted to bring it to you. So anything else?
So basically our understanding was that they had reached out to us after what happened in the 22nd congressional district and the huge lawsuit that went on. And basically, Oneida County, it came out that there was some very large discrepancies in how the Board of Elections was being run and voter registrations. I don't know how many of you followed that court case and what happened, but it ended up that they had 2,400 voters that never got registered before the election that should have been. That was just one of the that we know of. We are not sure of a lot of the other things that possibly went on. So I think the group reached out trying to help the boards of elections to make sure that I think for county purposes that they are compliant with the election laws. As you know, last year was a perfect storm per se. We had over 60 some new law changes heading into 2020. And then we had COVID and we had a presidential election and the governor had executive power. And a lot of the things that happened just on executive orders last year were time consuming and just very hard. When they passed an executive order that said that we had to mail out an absentee ballot application to every single eligible voter for the Democratic primary for the president. We also had to have envelopes printed up and to mail them. We had to have postage paid envelopes sent to every voter with the application for them to return it back to us postage paid. We then also had to have new absentee envelopes done up. We also had to send them an absentee, a postage paid envelope to return their ballot to us. All of that had to be done literally within a 2-week time frame on top of everything else that we were doing. And then last year they also put in place a absentee portal so that anybody that wanted to request an absentee ballot online could do so. And our absentee for a presidential year last year was more than double what we normally do. And then there were more rules and laws put in place. It was a lot. It was a lot of work. We had to bring in additional staff which we normally do, but this was even worse. We had, you know, we talked to them. They wanted to kind of get our feel for things. Our policies and procedures, I think we've got to get some of them updated. We didn't like get a chance to like get them written updated. But I think a lot of this also has to do with what you feel you need from us and what you know, how you feel we're doing. The state does come in and audit our work. And our voters are registered, our deceased are taken off the records,
So what would they do differently than the state audit?
I'm really not sure. I mean, the state comes in and they give us a list of people and we have to look them up and we have to provide them with all of our back files and everything we've done for that voter. They give us a random, we have no idea when they come in what they're going to give us to look up. And I'm assuming they look up people that were registered, supposed to be through DMV, people that are deceased, people that are transferred, which is another new law change, transferring a voter now from one county to another without the voter ever having to reapply for registration in New York State. So that is, you know, what the state does.
Does the state review your policies and procedures to see if they're complying? Or do they just do a spot audit on different voters?
They do a spot audit on different voters, and they come in and they talk to us. And but for them to actually look at our policies and procedures, no.
And that's what this would do, presumably?
Yes.
So what's the difference between A, B, and C? Or from bronze to gold?
So if you see the check marks, so essentially the main difference is the registration testing and ineligible voter testing. I'm guessing, I don't know how comprehensive the state's view is, but Bonadio is very comprehensive. So, you know, they have their processes in place. It's just a matter of, you know, taking a look at, you know, the things that in this discussion the state doesn't do. It seems like bronze, silver, or gold covers that, but the voter testing and then the ineligible voter testing, the completeness and ineligible voter testing are the additional ones that it sounds like the state does some of, but Bonadio is, you know, very comprehensive. So it's just, you know, for that extra, you know, $7,000, is it, you know, worth the investment to have that level of assurance as well? Up to you.
This is Robin. I have a question.
Go ahead, Robin.
First of all, it's my understanding, right, Jack, that this is a one-time deal, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. And the second part of that is, I direct to Vicki, I think, what is the timing of this audit? Because I'm not getting a clear picture on the timing of the audit, so it precludes errors in voting or election day, you know, snafus.
I'm not really sure what the timing is on the audit. They kind of gave us a like a rough draft of what they would possibly come in and do. And I'm not exactly sure when that would happen.
Jack, do you have any idea? Is this something that's all going to be accomplished before we get into the voting season?
Probably not your primary, but I would say certainly for the general.
Okay. Well, that would be the reason to go ahead and spend the money on the audit. If you don't get it soon enough, then it's really not worth spending it.
So this is Hilda. I'm confused. I thought this sounded like the audit was after the election. You're talking before the election.
Mm-hmm. Auditing the previous election, basically.
Right. Yeah, auditing the previous election. So your policies, procedures, internal controls essentially can be audited at any time.
Yeah.
But then the testing of voters, they would, my guess is they would look at the general election from last year.
Carol?
Bonadio, I think, is an excellent company, but have we looked at any other vendors to offer the same service?
We have not. Like the commissioner said, they had approached the county with this proposal, and we also have an existing contract with them. That's why we haven't, you know, looked at.
This is Hilda again. Have they done this with other counties?
My understanding is that I believe Oneida County has brought them in to help them get things in place because of the issues that they had last year in Oneida County that came to light during the 22nd congressional race.
And I do know they are offering the service to other counties.
I would imagine. Yeah.
So, Vicki, are you looking to do this? Is this your opinion?
It never hurts to have somebody come in and look and see what you're doing and you know, make sure that everything's done. I can say that after what happened last year, I mean, are we perfect? No. We had challenges last year on some of our, you know, we had attorneys in here. And we did find a couple of things. They were, an envelope didn't get stapled back onto an absentee ballot after it had been returned when we scanned them all in to send them to the attorney so that they could view them before the challenges. But it doesn't hurt to have somebody come in and, you know, make sure that we are doing, and if it's for the benefit of the county, to make sure that we are doing everything we are supposed to be doing.
Right.
And I don't know, and possibly it may, with everything that's happening, there is so much happening so fast, and there are more laws out there that are going to come about this year, and I don't know whether they're going to, you know, look at some of the staffing issues in the office or any of that. I don't know, but I mean, for the county's perspective.
So if we do it through the whole thing, what was the cost?
Yeah, my recommendation.
3,000.
Yeah, my recommendation is to do the whole thing. It's a $7,000 difference, and you know, obviously, completely up to you folks. But for, you know, that $7,000 to get the voter completeness registration testing and eligible voter testing while they're here.
I'll move it.
I'll second. And go ahead, John, and then I have.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering if we found major discrepancies in this last voting.
No, we did not have major discrepancies.
So I guess my point is that if we upgrade the internal controls, wouldn't that take care of this situation rather than spending $23,000? I just don't know if we need this.
Well, I think the purpose of doing this would be to establish the list of internal controls and then have Bonadio, they would be testing. If we have an internal control in place and then it is not being followed, that's what's going to come out as a result of this audit. It will identify if there are weaknesses within our internal controls.
But isn't that the part of the commissioners to sit out there and make sure the internal controls are followed, sitting out there?
Yes, but I don't believe that they can specifically look at every single employee and every single control the same way that an independent eye would be able to look at it, especially with the number of changes that came down last year. I think from a voter perception thing, that it would be very helpful for us to go through this audit to give our voters reassurance that we are willing to go the extra mile to make sure that within our Board of Elections, everything is correct, accurate, and up to date based on the laws that are being thrown at us from Albany every day.
Scott?
I agree. You know, I've been a lifelong proponent of the Board of Elections, so. When Jack sent me this a couple of weeks ago, my big question was, how much time is it going to take from the staff in that office to help this audit occur? Because that's always an issue, that they have more work than they have hours to do the work. And we didn't really have an answer on that.
No. Did you ladies have a discussion with them? I mean, Bonadio is comprehensive, but it would be an investment. But Bonadio would have to work around their schedule so that the days that they're
you know, the block time, you know, what they normally do with Tammy and everyone is, okay, here's when we're going to come down because we have some bandwidth to work. And you, not that you're not always busy, but you generally, I would guess, know your weeks that, okay, I can manage a little more flexibility here.
I'm actually in favor of this. I never saw an auditor I didn't like because they're going to find something. That's their job, is to find something. And if they can help identify weaknesses in our process, that's good.
Right.
That we're taking a proactive role to do that rather than have the state come in and say, slap, slap, you didn't do this.
Sure. And when the state does it, they're going to pick a very small sample, whip through the sample, and they don't care about all the rest of our procedures unless someone they test on that particular voting happens to not be where they're supposed to be.
Take, for example, how the state does equalization rates. They pick a very small sample. Right. It's not reflective of the entire base.
Agreed.
Carol, you had a question?
I do. Time flies, but a few months ago, I think we approved a program that would for the Board of Elections that they would, this company would come in and help them with procedures. And is there a status on that?
That's our new voter registration system.
Right.
They are in the process now that they have done our data. They are still migrating data, and because every county is differently, but they are migrating the data. We have another meeting with them, I think in another week, to find out where we're at with all of the data and all of the information. So that's still a work in progress.
Would that have to be completed before Bonadio can do this job?
No, this is not the historical data.
No, this is our voter registration database, and which is what it's the process of it. Some of it will change, but the whole system itself is still basic. We have to register them. We have to send them letters. We have to mail them mail check cards. We have to, you know, update them, transfer them. It's all still the same.
So the motion is to go with the gold plan from Bonadio to be paid for out of the contingency fund?
Yes.
And we got a motion and a second?
Second.
This is Andy.
And I guess.
Go ahead, Andy.
Are we doing anything from a procurement standpoint, being this is a professional service?
Sorry, Andy. So it would be amending, if you don't mind, part of the motion amending the contract with Bonadio, because finance already has an existing contract with Bonadio.
Okay. To include this. So the motion has amended and the second. Thanks, Andy. Any questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Before we get to Jack, let's revisit that district. Oh, I see Noah left.
He gave up.
I assumed that he was here on behalf of the DA's office.
I think so.
Oh, is he? Okay. Hilda, are you still hearing us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Did you want to, you tried to make a comment on the district attorney's reclassification item, but we couldn't hear you.
No, I just wanted to have a second because I think you didn't have a second.
We didn't. Let's revisit that. We had a motion, I think, from Kelly.
I will move it.
Hold a second. Noel's not here. Nate's here to maybe comment, and Jack is.
Yeah, I mean, again, the changes, because he is losing.
You're losing Jim Miller, right?
Right, which is essentially his deputy. That's not what the classification was, but there's no change in headcount. It's just allowing him to get more senior attorneys, more senior level attorneys to make up that, I guess, knowledge gap. And Jim was paid far above what those people would be, at least $10,000. So from a dollar standpoint, you're not increasing.
And once we make this reclassification, then he can hire into the position without having to come back to any of the committees.
Correct. The only way that he would have to is if he wants to appoint above step five.
Right.
Which you folks would have to approve.
So the net effect on the budget is neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to reconsider that? We got a motion and a second.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Jack.
Okay, a couple items for you, and then one that came up yesterday, just for discussion purposes. In the transition of the changes at 911 and emergency management, one of the items that we talked about prior was the reclassification of the deputy director of emergency management to be the same grade as the deputy of 911. The deputy director of EMO will have to pick up additional responsibilities with the director of EMO becoming the director of public safety. So we're proposing, and probably should, my fault, probably should have been under Nate's items, but from reclassification from a grade G to a grade H and adjusting the salary to 68,293, which is step 5 of the new grade H.
I'll move it.
Second.
Motion second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Presenting you with two stipend proposals. Again, stipends are something that we try to avoid, but in these cases, I think that personally they're warranted for your consideration. So, Tina Goodwin, Deputy Director of 911, obviously assumed the responsibilities acting as director after Dave retired. A deputy does assume the responsibility of a director, but it was, you know, approximately 6 months that Tina did that job. So I would be proposing a one-time $2,500 stipend in recognition of that service that we did. And that's in line with other stipends that we've done for deputies acting. We've normally done $5,000 a year. So half a year, proposing $2,500.
I'll move it. Hilda.
Motion from Hilda.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you. One last stipend proposing in the interim, because we have to make the charter changes for the director of public safety. So for those few months that Mr. Marshall will be acting as director of public safety, I'd like to propose a $2,500 stipend to recognize the fact that he's doing the additional work. I can testify to the fact that he's putting in more hours doing additional work with the 911 and transition. When the time comes to appoint him, we would be, you know, obviously looking at a salary adjustment based on the director of public service. But to get the process going, I would propose a $2,500 stipend for that interim.
And we're doing his before the fact instead of after the fact, like we just did with Tina.
Yes. Yeah. So his is, Tina's is, there's a little bit of difference because as a deputy, you can act. It's just a matter of how long you do. If it was a very short period of time, generally we wouldn't do a stipend. Since it was 6 months, that's why we were proposing that. In this case, Tim is assuming duties as acting 911 director that in this time of transition while we wait for the charter changes.
How long will the charter change take?
It should be done by the end of May, hopefully.
Yeah, because it's a local law, so we have to just...
And he started in the end of March doing that work.
So a stipend is more appropriate than appointing him and then retroactively increasing his pay once we decide on a pay increase?
You could do that, but finance and others get a little...
They don't like
it. Doing retro is not the easiest thing.
Yeah.
So Robin made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A second.
Got a second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. I'm going to share my screen one more time. So we've been approached by Southern Tier Central. And this taskbar. How the heck am I? I'm going to have to move this down so you can see. Okay. About a wireless project, a grant through the Appalachian Region Commission for a wireless broadband project in the towns of Caton, Hornby, and Lindley. So they've been looking, this conversation started and my reacted to Kelly. My question is, what about other areas of the county? And the response was, well, for the size of the grant, which is $1 million grant with a 50% match, doing other parts of the county would make that such, would make the grant too large, this project too large. So, and they had already been working, that area of the county had been working together since the end of last year, specifically about connectivity for school age children and their families in the Corning Painted Post District. So
they I'm sorry, Jack, where is this at?
Caton, Hornby, and Lindley.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. So they've approached those towns for the match. There's a 50% match. There's about, and this is Caton. You can see the beige, the dark beige color is areas and residents that would be potentially served or would be served by this wireless project. And again, this is just a grant application. So not putting, you know, a funding commitment in front of you. It's just more for your reaction to see if you're interested. So that is Caton. I'm going to have to minimize that so I can get to, this would be Hornby. So you can see large swaths or, you know, essentially no internet coverage. And you can see the ones, these dots are the households that would be covered by this. And this is Lindley. So it's $1 million project with a $500,000 match. The Community Foundation of the Southern Tier has committed $200,000. The town, Hornby, Caton, and Lindley have been approached for $30,000 each. Apparently last night, Hornby said that they're not putting up $30,000. And the request from STC to the county is for $210,000 match. And one of my questions to Chelsea when she presented was, are the American Recovery Plan funds eligible for the match? And the federal, the Appalachian Region Commission said yes. So you could use the broadband money, you could use the Appalachian or the American Recovery Plan money if the grant was awarded. It'd have to come back for you folks to approve the matching funds, and you could use that money for that. There is a potential to use this as a test case for other areas of the county that are underserved as well, because we do have towers that can serve some of those areas. So again, just putting it in front of you because we've been approached for your reaction, your interest level, what you would like to do with it.
Well, I think we're committed to trying to get broadband to as many people in the county as possible. We got to start somewhere. So if this is a location they've identified, we got to get on it.
I personally think it is absolutely critical. And if we didn't learn anything else from the pandemic and the ability to remote work, people need good, reliable internet service in order to work from home. And this has to be like just a personal mission to try to get broadband to as many households as possible. Do I wish it was the town of Bath? Heck yes. But I will bide my time and keep biting my lip every time
we go somewhere else.
I'll move it.
Any idea what the price we're charging for receiving it?
I do not know that. We generally, when we were talking about it, this potential project, I mean, we were involved just from, it was more of an STN discussion. So I was involved in those discussions when the Community Foundation and others were looking in the Corning Painted Post area. And they were looking at, I think it was like $69 a month. And the speeds were 30 meg, which is, and above, which is good. It's more than I get with Time Warner.
So you think it'll be affordable then? Okay.
Yep.
John? Yes. So we're talking about three towns sitting out there. Are we picking up their match? Is that what we're proposing here?
Well, so Chelsea, in her discussion, she told me that she tried to get the towns to match as much as they possibly could. It sounded like they all ended up with, they they would come up with $30,000 each, but then I guess Hornby last night said that they are interested in the project but are not going to match the funding.
So what's the overall match?
$500,000.
Thank you.
So this is Robin.
Go ahead, Robin.
I'm on board with the idea, but it concerns me that a town is abdicating any responsibility here. I mean, why Hornby's going to pull out, so the county's going to have to step up and fill the hole for them?
Well, so our match yesterday, Chelsea sent this to me, and the proposed match from the county was $210,000, and she said that doesn't change. She'll find the money through the $30,000 that Hornby backed out in other ways. So our potential match wouldn't change.
Okay. Do we know why you wouldn't do it?
Don't know. I haven't talked. I just got an email from Chelsea this morning. I didn't talk to her.
Carol?
Yeah, I was at the Hornby meeting last night, and I think they felt that this proposal had been brought to them too quickly, and they had a lot of questions that they needed answers to, and that was the real reason why they chose not to endorse it. But you know, I don't think I think it would be wrong to say that they're not interested, because they definitely are. But I think just the timing was bad, and the communication allowing them to answer questions, and the letter had to be submitted by Friday.
Yeah, and that's why them bringing it. I mean, the timing worked out. If you didn't have a meeting, then you know we would have. You know, it's kind of short notice, but such are grant cycles. So I think in the interim, again, it's not. You know, it's not a final commitment. It's just a sense that if you're willing, because if you receive a word of a grant, you can always turn that down. Now, you don't want to do that, but we have to still go through the formal process afterwards. So hopefully there's more time for them to communicate with Hornby, and maybe that changes something, you know, maybe in the interim, if it is awarded, because you'll have many months, you know, while they're reviewing it.
Bob?
I represent Little League. There you go. Is it in?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I know what they're going to say is the Hornby's getting a free ride. Why aren't we getting a free ride? So if you don't have everybody participating, the other two, you know, unless you're going to say, all right, Hornby, you don't get it. If you don't put your $30,000 in, you don't get the service.
Well, and I guess Chelsea is talking to those towns today about what happened at Hornby, and I think the direction will be, you know, let's stay in the game, and then as the grant is submitted, there's a lot of other steps that have to be taken, communicate more, talk about it, answer the questions from, you know, the municipalities, and then hopefully they're bought in, you know, and those towns, you're right, those towns will have to work together.
The other towns, Caton and Lindley, are going to say, if they're getting a free ride, why don't we?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think had the Caton supervisor not died unexpectedly, they would have supported it, because he was the one that has driven this with Chelsea ever since he's been in office.
Yeah, Caton has been the one that they worked with the closest. And again, you have times, and for them, if we can match American Recovery money, all the towns are getting American Recovery money too.
Yeah.
They could use that for their match.
There are very limited uses for that funding, isn't there?
Yeah, for towns, it's even, I mean, you,
even more strict.
Yeah, you folks have more flexibility.
And those are the types of questions that Hornby had last night. So, okay. You know, I think better communication with them would help.
Yep.
So what do you need to move this forward?
Not just a sense of it, if this grant is awarded and we bring it to you, that you folks support it.
Yeah.
Please, dear God.
Yes, I think that's the consensus. Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you. I'll communicate that to STC so that they can submit that. And then
anything else?
That's it from me.
Anything else? Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Meeting's adjourned.